everybody. Welcome to episode 575 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Top Cow Thursday episode, and I'm going to be continuing with the chronology, and I'm going to be talking about another of the Devil's Reign crossover books. It's actually The Prelude, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm not sure why it's in this order, but I've been following along with the chronology as put out by Condor. I trust his judgment, so no, it's point five. It's The Prelude. It appeared as an extra in a Wizard magazine, or you could order it through Wizard. I'm not exactly sure how those half issues worked, so I'll be talking about that in this episode. It's only 17 pages, so this episode may be a little shorter than usual, but just to give you a rundown before I get into the issue of some of the upcoming episodes of Top Cow Thursdays, what we have in mind. Next Thursday, which would be the 8th of November, I'm going to be talking about the Aphrodite 5 title from Brian Edward Hill and Jeff Spokes in its entirety now that it has finished up. The following Thursday will be Eclipse. Overall, again, all three volumes will have finished from writer Zach Kaplan and artist Giovanni Timpano. So I want to look at that as a whole, and we may even see if we can get Zach to stop in for a little while as well. The following Thursday is Thanksgiving, so I'm hoping to have a creator interview for you. Obviously, it'll be recorded ahead of time. But it will be about Freeze from writer Dan Wickline and artist Philip Sebi. And that's an upcoming Top Cow title. It has me really, really excited. It's a really cool premise. And I think Dan is an underrated writer. And, you know, Philip, I've talked about him on the show before. He's a really great artist. So look for that as well. And then the last Thursday of the month, the 29th, we'll be returning to the chronology with part five of the Devil's Reign Marvel Top Cow crossover. So it gives you somewhat of an idea of what's coming up for the rest of the month. And obviously all those are subject to change if something else comes up or some creators aren't available, or Top Cow reaches out to me and they want me to cover something else specifically. But in general, that's what you can expect. So before I dive into the book for this episode, just a quick reminder what the Top Cow Chronology Project is. It's how the podcast actually got its start. Always wanted to read the Top Cow Artifact Universe. It's the corner of the Top Cow Universe that deals with a lot of magic and supernatural. You know, they're not too much of the capes and types, tights, rather, superhero kind of stuff. They're more into the supernatural and magic and that kind of thing. And so Witchblade, Darkness, Magdalena, all those artifacts that imbue the bearers with all these powers. And so when I finally decided to take the plunge and read, I wasn't sure if there was a particular reading order or how I should tackle it. You know, I had purchased a giant omnibus of like I think it's the first 75 issues of Witchblade that I got really cheap at a Borders when they were, I had a coupon and I had a gift card and they were having a going out of business sale. So it was like this, I don't know, $50 trade that I got for like $9. It was crazy. And again, Michael Turner being my favorite comics artist of all time, and he really cut his teeth on Witchblade. And so I'd always wanted to read it. I just wasn't sure where to start. So when I was looking for a Top Cow reading order, I stumbled across this reading order, this chronology on the Comic Vine website, again, from the user Condor, as I've mentioned on the show many times. Kudos to him. He gets all the credit for doing all the research and putting this together. And what's really cool about Condor's reading order is that it doesn't list the books in the order they were published. It lists them in the order you should read them, as in the oldest books are in ancient times and they move forward through time on into the future, I guess, even. So we're not there yet. We're still on the very first part of the chronology. Don't know that I'll finish in my lifetime, but it is fun to read the books and give you my initial reaction without a lot of time to like contemplate or think about. I mean, sometimes I do read them a little earlier than others, but for the most part, I read them and then I immediately, fire up the equipment here and record the episode to give you my thoughts. So let's go ahead and dive into the issue here. As I mentioned, it's Silver Surfer. It's Devil's Reign Half, Silver Surfer Witchblade. And there's quite a few creators. The plot is by David Wall. The script is by Mike Manzarek. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's M-A-N-C-Z-A-R-E-K. The pencils are by Kirk Von Wormer and Adam McDaniel. We have inks from Adam McDaniel, Norm Ratman, John Livesay, and Joe Weems. We've got colors by Tyson Wengler, Quantum Color FX, and Ashby Manson. And letters are by Dennis Heisler. So, as I mentioned, this is the half issue, the prelude to the Devil's Reign crossover, which was a crossover between Marvel Comics and Top Cow. Marvel was looking for anything to kind of give them a boost. They were teetering on the verge of bankruptcy at this time. It's like circa 1996, 97 here. And they really had made some fundamental missteps in the marketplace and took on a little too much debt, and they were struggling. So they were more than happy to try to take any boost they could, even from Top Cow, who at the time, I guess, was known as kind of one of those bad girl publishing studios, being that Witchblade was one of their mainstay titles. And obviously the original Witchblade costume doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. So the premise of the Devil's Reign story is Mephisto discovers the Top Cow universe, and he discovers that there's no Satan there. There's no kind of underworld, evil underworld, you know, gods, or nobody's harvesting the souls. And so he sees it as a blank canvas. So as the story starts, we get the place, the time, the player, and we get Mephisto himself talking about how bored he is, actually. And he's wondering what else he has to accomplish in this universe, the universe that I guess we would call home. He mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah, the Black Plague, World War II, President Nixon, and light beer, right? He's ruined all those things. He's responsible for all those terrible things, those terrible tragedies and disasters, and how can he top his own perfection, right? And so he calls for one of his attendants, Scratch, and he lets Scratch know that he has glorious news, right? He's found a new canvas upon which to paint his masterpiece. This new dimension is pristine, and virginal. There's no devil there. They have no gods of death at all. And so imagine the possibilities, Mephisto says. He'll have no competition conquering this other dimension. Will be easier than selling cosmetics to Tammy Faye Baker. And let me warn you right now, there are a few lines like that very much date this comic, right? It's not a good thing to do, to make little topical jokes that future generations are not going to understand. It very much ages and dates your comics. So, but at the time, I'm sure it gave a lot of people a chuckle, as during this time, Tammy Faye was heavily in the news and a known personality. So Mephisto shows Scratch the different heroes that are there and how ridiculous they are and how it won't be any problem for him to overcome those heroes. And it will give him everything that he desires, right? A brand new dimension to explore and relieve his boredom. Again, no one will be fighting him for the souls. They have no underworld gods, no devil, as it were. And Mephisto is particularly fascinated with Sarah Pizzini. He's intrigued by her beauty and her power, and yet she's so naive, and rarely has Mephisto seen such purity. Defiling her soul will be a pleasure It'll give him a lifetime of pleasure, as will anointing her as his queen. So he's so enamored with her, he can't help but taste a little sample of her, and he reaches across dimensions. You know, he's not able to travel, but he can at least reach out and taste a little bit of the Witchblade's power. And in response, the Witchblade itself speaks to Saren and says, "Beware, a new player has entered the game. Your soul and my might are the prizes he seeks." And Saren's like, could you maybe just once tell me what's going on in English? Hello, hello, anyone there? And of course, there's no answer. Meanwhile, Mephisto's surprised by just how sensitive Sarah is, that she felt that. And meanwhile, back in the underworld, Scratch is asking Mephisto, "Yeah, I know you're great, but I didn't know you could cross dimensions. Like, isn't that going to be a problem?" And Mephisto's kind of annoyed. He's like, "You idiot. I'm Mephisto. I'm Lord of Hell, the pinnacle of evil, the serpent of spirit. You know, I'll figure it out. You think there's something that I can't do? What? Just watch. I'll show you. Even now, my machinations have begun." And we get a quick glimpse at the Weapon Zero team. I'm not really sure what the point of this is, other than Mephisto saying he's already manipulating things. We've seen a few issues of the Devil's Reign series focus on Weapon Zero so far, and they do seem to be a bit fractured and fragmented as a team. And Mephisto says as much here, and he's particularly interested in Jamie, who we know is kind of estranged from the team at this point. But again, this is a prologue. And so Mephisto feels that due to Jamie's anger and kind of self-isolation on the team, that he may be able to turn him to his side of things, his way of thinking. So next, Mephisto shows Scratch N'Golth, the leader of the Siri, talks about how the Siri have the technology to travel across dimensions. And that, in fact, is how Mephisto will get to this new dimension that he has discovered. So he mentions that there is a Siri warship that has crashed on Earth many years ago, and all he has to do is figure out a way to power it. And Scratch suggests maybe, or actually it's another one of the Mephisto servants that suggests that he trick one of the heroes into charging it for him. And Mephisto doesn't want to hear anything from the worms that serve him, and so he immolates the a being that dared speak to him, and then somehow miraculously comes up with the idea all on his own. How could I have been so blind? Oh, the delicious irony. He's going to trick the Silver Surfer into powering the ship for him. So at this time in the Marvel Universe, Silver Surfer has been freed of Earth. He's no longer bound to Earth, and he's out having cosmic adventures. But apparently he's going to swing back by to check on some old friends. And when he does, the trap by Mephisto is sprung. And as we saw in the first issue of the crossover, Silver Surfer believes that he's firing his cosmic power at an alien ship that's invading, when in fact he's really firing at the ship that's been dead for, you know, God knows how long. And what happens is the residual energy from Silver Surfer firing at that ship is caught within the ship, and it's able to navigate under its own power at that point. And that's how Mephisto uses it to jump across dimensions. And that's what kicks off the whole Devil's Reign event. So again, there's not a whole heck of a lot that goes down in this issue. It very much is a prelude. As I said, it's like 16 pages, 17 pages. That's, you know, with the advertisements and inside front cover and all that. So there's really probably only like 14 pages of story. The art is a bit inconsistent as well. You know, we have a couple of pencilers, and you can really discern which is which, even to the point that the coloring looks wildly different from one half of the story to the other, which is kind of distracting in a way. But I will say this, it does give good background and it is a good introductory to the Devil's Reign series. And it makes it easy to understand what's going on, even easier than just picking up the first issue, right? Because even in the first issue, you're kind of reading between the lines on some stuff because it's Silver Surfer Weapon Zero, and you want to make sure that all those heroes get the appropriate amount of panel time, of screen time, as it were, so you can kind of flesh them out. So I did appreciate this issue and getting an idea of just what's going on, what's the premise of the Devil's Reign event, because when you look at it up close, you can kind of miss the forest for the trees. But when you step back and you're more kind of show running, you can see what works and what doesn't. And it gives you a good idea of what the story is all about. And that's bottom line. That's what you want from a prelude, right? Being able to step back and see the big picture. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. Again, there wasn't a whole lot to this particular issue, but we will return to the chronology and the Devil's Reign crossover before the end of the month. So thanks for joining, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.